Coming up on Roundabout, find out what giant tech company is chasing after automakers, pressuring them to use its software. Talk about a trifecta of fail. Three car magazines from three different countries are stuck in a very embarrassing situation. We'll get to that in a minute here. And we take a look back at the 1980s with a clever TV commercial from Dodge. So enjoy all of this great taste with fewer calories. Plus, we'll get to a Dream Cruise-themed installment of Versus. So get in, sit down, shut up, and hold on, because Roundabout is coming at ya. Roundabout is sponsored by Advance Auto Parts. Visit our website, roundaboutshow.com, to get up to $30 off your next purchase.
From AutoBytel's portable building in Long Beach, California, I'm Michelle Naranjo.
From Seattle, Washington, I'm Alex Kirstein from Hooniverse.com.
From Roundabout Towers in Livonia, Michigan, I'm Jim Hall from 2953 Analytics.
And I'm his supply of spare parts for organs, corneas, and such, Bob Hall.
I'm Stephen Ewing from Autoblog.com.
I'm your host, Craig Cole.
And trying to keep this all under control, I'm producer Ben Sanders.
This is Roundabout!
I'm glad you don't have some banjo.
Welcome to Roundabout, episode 94, our weekly chat covering car culture, vehicle reviews, and some of the auto news you may have missed.
And boy, howdy, Stephen, it's good to be back.
Yeah, it is.
Did you guys miss me? Because if you remember, I wasn't here last week.
Yeah, right, Craig.
The show was quite off the rails last week, and I think it's going to be even more so this week. We have quite a crowd joining us, but we are very fortunate to be blessed by the presence of the Super Hall Brothers.
That's not the first F word that came to your mind, was it?
What?
I don't know.
Fine.
Because you stumbled on the
first.
I have a tick. In the presence of great...
It wasn't one of your little mini leisure strokes?
No, it wasn't. No, it
comfort
wasn't.
Stroke.
From the comfort ladies at the front?
Yeah.
Yes. Anyway, wow. Jim Hall, 2953 Analytics, Bob Hall. A bifecta of awesome joining us right now.
Thank you. I will try to make sure that my awesomeness is not too great, however.
I understand you came out from California, where you live now.
Yes.
After moving here.
I'm a neighbor of Michelle's, actually.
Yes.
It's very, very nice living here because property values are higher. Actually, now they're going to drop that I'm there after moving from Asia, but...
I know,
it wasn't my
mini horse. It was actually him that made it drop.
Sorry. No, I don't think so.
You have a mini horse?
She does.
Those are good eating.
Yeah. I always wondered, though, what
you
wine
know, we
goes
only
good?
Have them for their eggs.
what wine goes well with them?
It's a red meat, isn't it?
It is, but I understand it goes really well with a good Riesling.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that'd be good.
From the Mosel, maybe, yeah.
I heard they're good stewed in black coffee.
Well, we are very fortunate to have you gentlemen here. The two of you.
Think so, huh?
You guys were gracing Autoline After Hours last night, which was Thursday night. You were from the Woodward Avenue. So you guys agreed to come on our show. We appreciate it. Thank you so much. Jim, you're practically a regular. But Bob,
I like
this is
to
your
think
first
I'm
time.
Regular, yes.
Well, we were just talking about the Bristol stool scale earlier. So,
what do we have today? Three or four?
He's been on the Miralax, so no more fives,
oh,
right?
Oh, good. Yeah, I hope not. Yeah. Wow.
Anyway, so
Wikipedia.
We've got a great show planned. A lot of wacky stuff coming up. Can't forget about our Skypers, Alex Kirstein, out there in Seattle,
Hello.
And of course Michelle, Joey, Naranjo. Let's get started, shall we?
Let's.
Well, it's the middle of August, and we all know what that means. It's Michelle's birthday.
Woo!
You're only 29
a jolly
once.
Good gal.
Oh, no, that's not true. You can be 29, and it becomes a number of days and a number more days, okay. And then it gets into the thousands of days.
Yes, yes. But, Michelle, you are only 29 once, so please let loose and have a little fun, okay?
Thank you.
Yes. And besides that, it's time, besides Michelle's birthday, it's time for another Dream Cruise to rumble, congest, and overheat its way down historic Woodward Avenue, which, like a box cutter with a fresh blade, slices its way through a slew of Michigan communities between Detroit and Little Detroit. I mean Pontiac. To help get you ready for the big event, which officially takes place on the third Saturday of every August, our friends at Chevrolet have put together a spotter's guide to help you identify historically significant Chevys from the past century. Can you tell a 55 Bel Air convertible apart from a Chevelle SS454? I know the Hall brothers can. Can you? If not, this guide can help. It shows the profile silhouettes of 10 important bowtie cars. So learn yourself some history and check this out. Roundaboutshow.com. Follow the link. And all I can say is, I hope it doesn't rain this Saturday. Nobody likes a wet dream, Cruz. Or changing sheets, number three.
No, they used to use those.
That whole sentence could have just been removed, and the show would have been so much better.
Well, Ben can do it in post, right?
Yeah, sure.
They use those silhouettes, you know.
We'll fix it in post.
Craig, I forget that Craig is he does this show because of our huge middle school audience.
Yes.
Oh. They use those silhouettes to identify enemy battleships, you know.
It's in the Royal Observatory, right?
Oh, there's the Yamato.
No, it's a geo tracker.
All right. My mistake.
Yeah, but is it a Chevy tracker?
Oh, we are right. Well, no, you shouldn't deny your history. Mm-hmm. You really shouldn't. And if you think about it, General Motors was always about the companion cars. In 1927, they did these companion cars. So they had Cadillac, had LaSalle.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Oldsmobile Viking.
And Buick.
Marquette.
Marquette.
Oh, my.
And the other
Oakland
division,
had.
Oakland's companion car was Pontiac.
Wow.
Really?
And, exactly. And the only division that didn't have a companion car was Chevrolet until Geo.
Because they had a little Chevy badge in this odd globe.
But think about it. This companion car had the same fate as all the other companion cars.
Hang on. It was Geo? I thought they abbreviated George because it was too long.
No, it was Geo.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry.
Well, speaking of Chevrolet, Alex, what's going on? Something about a Corvette now.
Yeah, so apparently Lightning Motors, which I'm not familiar with, but
shocking.
Yeah, I mean,
he works for Microsoft. Shocked. I mean, cars. Sorry.
Well, anyways, they've just released a video of their new LH4 hybrid, and it's on its maiden voyage in this video. And while they claim it's inspired by the Corvette, I say this thing is about as Corvette inspired as the new Charger is a faithful recreation of the original. It kind of looks like someone kicked an EV1 in the ass. So just like the post on Auto Ambush says, it's apparently got a TDI motor somewhere under that apparently carbon fiber bodywork, but it sounds a little bit like a TR7 with a rusted out muffler. It doesn't sound so hot. The technology does seem pretty cool, though. I do like the idea of a TDI motor in a hybrid, and it's also got a hydraulic hybrid system like they have on large trucks.
Alex, electric and hydraulic both?
It's a bi-brid.
It's a lot of weight.
Bi-brid. Yeah, it sounds heavy.
Yeah.
Hang on, Alex, you say it looks kind of like an EV1 that got kicked in the butt?
Yes.
So in a way, what you're saying is it looks kind of like a first-generation Insight.
Yes, it's a little longer and possibly uglier. I don't know. I'm not sure I can
not
make
as
that
plucky.
Is that even an adjective?
But all I'm trying to say is I just hope that they, they've got the money that they didn't spend on making this video they're putting into the R&D because it's sort of a handheld job, the video.
I thought you're saying a hand something. Well, it's a family show. Bad. This is a family show.
Especially if you're in middle school.
Yes, it is. Michelle, we've got that car was an accident. Short skirts can be blamed for other sorts of accidents as well, right?
Speaking of being a family show, it is true that Brit climbing out of the back of a car sans knickers is actually the Antichrist. And like the swamp people who've been visited by Satan in the depths of a Louisiana creek, a recent poll of British men finds that short skirts are to blame for evil. Nearly one-third of the leers polled claim that their wandering eyes resulted in the increase of accidents during the summertime. Sounds like burka time.
Hey, now, I have a question. This poll, was this done by reading people's cell phone data?
Texting.
Yeah, and, you know, was this in the News of the World's last issue?
Or this actually comes up to a serious problem, and that's the irrelevancy of driver training in Britain and in the United States. They should have something where a guy has to drive by a bunch of mirrors looking at his car in heavy traffic, and women should have to put eye makeup on and cell phone while they're driving in traffic. And then if you can do that, you get a license. I mean, I think this is the way to
that's
handle
critical
it.
Critical training.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Let's make a relevant test.
Yeah. And Michelle, I like your regional inflection, Crick. It's clever.
Crick.
Well, she's in Southern California.
Yeah.
She's from New Mexico and Texas.
Oh, but I do have my Cajun people.
You have your Cajun people?
I do. I'm not from California.
Well, all right. Let's just move on now. So it may not be apparent to the general public, but syndicated content has a huge presence in the magazine publishing world. I experienced this act of editorial planning firsthand while holding the associate editor title at Winding Road Magazine, and now a fluke of syndicated selling has led to quite an interesting newsstand sight. Britain's car magazine sold the rights to its glamorous supercar comparison test to Germany's Auto Bild and Automobile magazine right here in the U.S., with all three publications running the exact same photo on their covers. Yikes.
I'm coming, Elizabeth.
Nevertheless, it's a great story, and now you've got three ways to read about McLaren's new hotness taking on the world.
I had no idea. Mm-hmm. They shared
all
and cared that
magazines.
Much.
Well, when we were at Winding Road, or when I was there, we used to get syndicated content from Evo every once in a while that we would publish.
But, I mean, Auto Bild would be in German, right?
Right.
So of course,
but
there could be some translation errors.
But it's funny. They use the exact same photo, like the same crop of the photo. The one on car is slightly different because there's a man in there, too. But it's the same picture on the cover of
magazine. So syndicated content is nothing new. I mean, content is content is content if it's
syndicated content is
so,
something.
That's one thing. I mean, we even have that. Mm-hmm. But when you don't have the art direction, like when your budget is so bad that you don't have an art director that you can actually
But there's another possibility, and that's that the photos that get passed out, there's one that crops well for a cover.
Right, mm-hmm. Exactly.
And that's – to me, that's the problem because, you know, you want to have enough – artwork so you've got latitude in what you do. But, you know, they might have gotten a packet and they're looking at it and say, what's the cover? And they go, well, it's this one or nothing, just tires.
You know, when we were doing editorial planning for the magazine, there would be times where we're looking through what we have for like, okay, what are we doing for issue 60? And we would look at our list of stories and the syndicated piece is the hottest story we have that month, so you want that on your cover.
Yeah.
So I understand how this happens. It's just sort of –
surprised it hasn't been more obvious or happened more frequently.
It's just funny that it happened to, you know, three magazines all the same
big
picture.
Big magazines, too.
This is actually indicatory. I mean, last week, Source Interlink laid off 11 of its long-term writers. I mean, people that had been there for 20 or 30 years. They're now, like, literally just editors overseeing some of these enthusiast print magazines, and they have – nothing but syndicated content now.
No, that's sad. Mm. But moving along.
But wait, we're not syndicated here.
No.
This is all 1,000% original.
All of the time.
We report our own news. We gather it from the source, the internet.
Yeah, if it's on the interwebs, it's true.
And it's news.
And that's not
it's
syndication.
True. Yes, exactly.
It's just stealing it.
I fact check on Wikipedia.
Well, you see, now that's thorough. This man has gone the extra mile, let there be no doubt.
1.62 kilometers.
He went journalism. Oh, no, he didn't go to journalism school.
Did not go to journalism school.
Get out.
Leave my presence.
All right.
Well, bye.
Keeping the show on track, on target.
Stay on target. Stay on target.
The force is strong with this one.
It's no secret today's cars are loaded. No, bloated with technology. Things like yaw angle sensors, adaptive cruise control, tire pressure monitors, voice activation, the list goes on and on. OEM tech companies like Microsoft and others provide the software and hardware that backs up these whiz-bang features. A day late and apparently $100 short, computer giant Hewlett-Packard, I'm not sure, is trying to get manufacturers to adopt its WebOS operating system for cars and appliances. Why a dishwasher needs touchscreen controls or a 3G connection is beyond me. But HP claims automakers can benefit from its system's familiar interface and easy-to-use controls, but OEMs, at least for now, ain't buying it. Literally. With other tech companies already dominating this sector, it's hard to imagine anyone actually putting WebOS on the road. Plus, with the lead time in the auto industry, companies will not want to switch suppliers and have to recode software and all that jazz.
If they make it free. I'm serious.
What about Android is free?
I know.
Yeah.
But Android's not trying to pursue the auto industry. But I'm saying if they made it free, you might find some companies that aren't that far up the curve in fully integrated, basically online and MMI content. They might go for it. But that's the only way it's going to work.
And
it ain't going to – nobody – they're not going to do it.
Yeah. Bob?
Well, I mean, there was the thing in the paper the other day about HP considering flinging WebOS and spinning it off. So this is interesting. That would make it appealing to a manufacturer. Yes, the people who have developed it are going to be dropping it soon. Wouldn't you like to put in your car? Hey, what a great idea. Well, I guess maybe, you know, Saturn could use it, perhaps.
Yes.
Or, oh, Saab. Saab could use it.
Yes. They're perfect for each other.
Perfect match.
Now, Alex, up there in Microsoft country, you guys quaking in your boots over this WebOS?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Are you guys quaking in your collective boots in Redmond over this WebOS?
We've got a war room going. There's some guy with a buzz cut and a skinny tie. We're monitoring this. We're moving little pieces around on the map. It's really scary.
Didn't 30 people jump out of a window last week over this?
No, that was in an Apple factory in China.
It's gone. No, I heard it was in Seattle.
Oh.
Yeah, but it was a first floor office, Michelle.
They stubbed toe.
I don't get out of the office much. Yeah. They block the windows off, so I can't lemming out. But.
Do they give you guys like a restraining bolt they attach to your side so you can't move?
Teeny. All right. Alex, you got the next story.
Yes, I do. And it's, interestingly enough, about a Dodge Omni goes like hell, or GLH as it's more commonly known. So we've dredged up a video, an ad made about the Omni GLH. That's like some awesome 1980s half-ass version of that toys commercial created by Nissan for the 300ZX, which you might remember, where there's a G.I. Joe lookalike that picks up kind of a Barbie-looking number, and they go for a spin in a miniaturized car. But instead of that, this looks like it's taken a detour through another equally famous ad, the Plymouth Duster MTV ad, which has been dubbed the Cocaine Factory ad by some journalist hacks that I like. And long story short, it's a kid playing with a little plastic model of an Omni GLH. Or it's just a regular Omni, and then he starts adding plastic model kit parts to it to turn it into GLH.
That's what Shelby did.
Just like the original.
Yeah. You know what? That kid has some mad spray painting skills. Are we sure this isn't Banksy as a child?
I was just going to say, I'm concerned he's not wearing a respirator.
That was cool in those days.
And not only that, if it didn't kill you.
He's got the lung scarring to prove it. Now, Stephen, I understand you're a big fan of the Omni GLH and you're active on the forums. You used to own one.
Who told you that and why?
I told Mortimer.
It's nothing to be ashamed of. We all have these hidden.
We all make mistakes, Stephen, right?
No.
He doesn't even have a response.
I owned a Cosworth Vega.
Ooh. All right.
I'm so sorry.
I'm not proud of that either.
I still own a Kia Spectra.
S-P-E-C-T-R-E.
I had an Escort CX, too. Are we going down that road again?
I own a Mazda Miata, so I'm pretty sure I'm not going to get any flack from this crowd.
Nope.
What?
What about who designed the Miata?
Doesn't matter who designed it. This man here, to my left, Jim Hall, is the uncle of the Miata. Okay, that's the most important thing. Everybody needs to know that.
I bow down. I'm not worthy.
Wow.
You know what? It's not true. I know him. You are.
Huh? You're the expert.
Maybe you should explain for our listeners why that joke was funny to the rest of us, Craigie?
What? Say again?
The Miata joke with the Halls, why that was funny?
That's funny because Mr. Bob Hall, sitting directly across from me right now, designed the original Miata.
I was just some guy working on a project. And we had the sports car program, and my argument on the sports car was it should be rear drive in a convertible instead of front drive in a coupe or mid-engined in a coupe.
So not a Ford Probe.
No. It was actually much more like we did three models, and one of them was dimensionally so close to the first generation MR2 that the guys doing it wanted to stop the project. Okay, and the other one looked like a kind of a, for lack of a better term, a notchback first generation CRX.
Oh, and that'd be stylish as hell.
It was stylish as hell. And then we had the one we did where we actually had a roof on it, a hard top that had a piece of tape over it. And during the presentation of the board, we lifted the top off.
Mm. So did you design it? Or were you on all three?
If you wanted to say who designed the car, it was two guys, a guy named Mark Jordan, okay, who was with Mazda until very recently, and another guy named Masao Yagi. And Jordy had started probably a year before anybody else because he was the first foreign designer brought into Mazda.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark lived nearby me. So we would carpool. And I had this idea for this thing, and I had come up with a vehicle concept, but I had no styling to support it. So the deal I made with Mark was he'd work on it a few hours after work, and then I'd drive him home. And if not, he'd have to walk home. And
knowing Mark, he might have just taken up residence in the studio and sort of, if it got cold, he crawled in the clay oven.
No, we didn't have a clay oven then.
No?
No, we didn't have a clay oven.
Oh, we would have frozen it.
No, we just used
a
microwave.
It was a Maytag.
We just used a microwave. But, no, so I mean, I worked a lot on the concept. And
very
the biggest
cool.
problem was selling it to management in Japanese, which required, well, some photographs of certain guys going into motels and such. But, it worked out pretty well in the end.
The love hotels in Japan or whatever, they charge by the hour.
So what we call a love hotel, yes. You can find the very easy next to the exit of a motorway, highway. And sometimes they have a very gorgeous name, like Monico, which means La Monaco, of course. And like that. Okay.
Michelle.
Yes?
I'm hurting inside.
You know what? Why don't I take you on a little bicycle ride and relax you?
Okay, yeah. Thank you. Tandem bike. Okay.
Okay. You start. Is it real drive, this thing?
Wait. I'm pedaling.
All right, we're going.
Okay, thank you. Oh, so it isn't the Copenhagen wheel exactly by any means, but it could be. And that's a sad reference to the few of us that still watch Weeds. But it also isn't the Lexus hybrid bicycle that they keep rolling out when they have nothing else to show at auto shows.
It's every year,
this,
isn't it?
There is a bicycle out there that is exactly like those previous two inventions, only a student at Cooper Union has presented it as if it were new, adding a flywheel to the bike that saves your energy from your pedaling for later and gives you a little push. Let's say he'll graduate, but perhaps he should have resurrected how a volcano works.
Those are so cool.
Volcanoes.
I loved those
comes out the top.
Fourth grade science fair, get the baking soda.
Vinegar,
that's
great.
Yeah. Idea, but it's been like just, it's been put out there for so,
wait
for so
minute.
Long, so many times.
What about the bicycle that uses the vinegar and baking soda motor, okay? And
like
the foam
this.
Drives a turbine,
yeah.
Okay? You think about this, we're talking the biologically clean power of the future.
CO2 neutral.
Absolutely.
CO2 neutral.
Well, no, I don't. We know what the gas is when you mix that.
It's carbon dioxide, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is.
We'll talk about
would it make little putt-putt noises, or would it go like...
No, yeah, the putt-putt noises are done by putting cards on the...
front spoke.
On the fork, and they rub across the spoke. You get putt-putt noises that way.
Fair enough. So, next up, a car that could go 1 million miles without refueling.
Must have a hell of a tank.
Yes. Well, fascinating story from the Cars.com Kicking Tires blog. A Connecticut-based company could hold the key to our future power needs. Researchers believe they've found a way to run a car for 1 million miles without refueling it, and they're doing it with nuclear physics. Now, I know what you're thinking. Hiroshima, Chernobyl, Fukushima. But the lab coat wearing scientists believe they've got the radiation problem licked. Enter the element thorium, atomic number 90. It's an abundant substance that's apparently much safer than uranium. How do researchers think they can power a car with it? Well, not with a nuclear reactor. They plan to heat a small amount of the material with a laser beam, which would get it super hot, but not enough to start fizzling. The heat would in turn be used to boil water in a closed system to make steam, which obviously in turn would run a turbine, and then you could run a generator off of that. Pretty simple and apparently... And apparently pretty safe. All that's needed is a stainless steel box with 3-inch thick walls to contain the tiny amounts of radiation emitted by the superheated thorium. Why aren't we using this element right now? Well, steps need to be taken to miniaturize the powertrain system, and work has to be done
time.
To make it easier and cheaper.
Time.
To find.
Time. Okay. What powers the laser?
I'm assuming the generator.
No, but if it's not on...
and the car... leave it running constantly. How about that?
No, but how do you start it the first time?
Battery? These are questions they have to iron out.
I don't want to know about these questions. I'm an inventor.
It's a perpetual motion machine.
I'm sorry. This gets me back to thinking that the baking soda and the vinegar is looking better.
I like this.
Because we could put the baking soda and you could put it in a half-inch thick stainless steel box. So it would be lighter just to begin with, right?
Yeah.
Wait, that's how you power the laser, the baking soda.
Oh, it's a baking soda laser.
That's how it
is. The baking soda
ionizer. Alex, wasn't that one that the Russians were planning as the defense against the Star Wars system? It's high tech.
Yes.
Yeah, something like that. It will
produce a baking soda laser. The Americans cannot possibly put up any defense for it.
I think they were actually planning on seeding the clouds with baking soda and vinegar.
And then firing a laser through it.
My eyes are burning.
Don't they use like a silver dioxide or something for that? Am I wrong?
Cloud seeding, yes.
Silver iodide.
Iodide, that's...
Yeah.
And so if you have a cut, you just put your hand in it.
In the clouds.
Yeah, in the clouds. Yes, that's very good.
So what do the Hall brothers know about this thorium, this legendary thorium?
Thorium, there's a lot of work, believe it or not, on thorium nuclear reactors. A huge amount of work being done because it doesn't have the nuclear waste problem that uranium has, okay? I mean, it's serious stuff, but they talk about how safe it is. Correct me if I'm wrong, Jim. Didn't Crancor's leader...
Yes, Phantom Crancor was going to use thorium bombs.
Yeah, the Phantom dictator of Crancor from the famous film Prince of Space, which I'm sure everyone knows, if nothing else, through Mystery Science Theater 3000. Obviously, that portion of it was based in fact. Because they knew.
Yeah, right, Bob.
No, but thorium reactors are under study right now. But, you know, if the big ones, which are what? The size of a regular nuclear reactor. If they're a few ways down the pike, I think it's going to be... I mean, where's my DeSoto Sella? Remember the nuclear-powered DeSoto?
You stay medium-priced, my friend.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Sorry.
That's an insight.
Yes. Hey, what happened?
I don't know.
You know, I got to tell you...
Good question!
The thorium car, it does concern me, because whenever anybody says the radiation is safe...
Why is it in a 3-inch...
Yeah.
So why is it in a box that's got 3 inches?
And plus, is it a car that if you drive it for like 3 or 4 weeks straight, you come home and suddenly you realize that your hair is falling out in bloody clumps and your gums are bleeding?
It can't be worse than radium water.
No.
No, but isn't it better?
A million miles. Now, let's throw up a couple of things here. Let's not throw up. Let's throw out a few things here.
After you've been exposed to thorium, you may be
thorium milkshake, okay? No, but a million miles, okay? First of all, what's this going to do to the warranty business? Those guys that sell the aftermarket warranties, they're out of business. They're finished, right?
And what about the aftermarket throttle spacer business?
Oh,
eBay, out of business.
Yeah, exactly. Now, also, if you own a car a million miles, how many years is that? You're going to get pretty tired of it, okay?
Well, let's not even talk about that.
You don't have to keep it that
long. You know, you think about this. The box is what? The 3-inch box. What's it made out of?
Stainless steel.
Okay, and you're in a car that's going to do a million miles. And let's say you live, for the sake of argument, in southeastern Michigan, where the roads are salted with sulfuric acid.
3 inches stainless steel lasts about 4 years, right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Well, plus the car is going to rust away. I mean, oh, well.
But you know, the whole time, okay, so the car is rots away, but the whole time you drive it, you never have to fuel it.
Hmm. Now, how much thorium does it take? A pound?
It doesn't say.
Okay.
Unobtainium, yes. Well, for sake of argument, we'll say 1 gram.
We better say more than that for a reaction,
it's
okay?
It's a safe limit.
Okay, but let's, for the sake of argument, anybody here want to like look at a metals exchange and see what a pound of thorium is going to cost us?
Hang on, I'll check online here.
Well, as I said...
I have sources.
No, I'm just saying thorium is us. Thorium RS, right here.
Thorium RS.
Yeah, the radioactive metals exchange.
All right, well, something that might be a little more realistic, Stephen.
Hey, this is the Terhon. This is the Terhon page of the radioactive metals exchange. How'd that come out here? Oh, well, sorry.
Something a little more likely to happen in our lifetime, Stephen.
Okay.
Or
I
not.
Mean, no, I
tell
hope not.
Tell
God, I hope
going.
Not. All right, so recently, BMW made all of our heads spin when it released images of this M3-turned pickup truck created as a special one-off edition. And we know the Germans would never do something as crazy as turn an M3 into a proper Ute, but now Audi's kind of joining in on the fun, and it's created a Q7 pickup. As you would expect, the rear passenger and cargo compartments have been lobbed off of the big German crossover, and the end result is something that will make you laugh and cry at the same time. Mostly cry. But if this is going to be a continuing trend, all we have to say is, Porsche, we're ready for our Panamera Mino now.
That's a funny.
I don't. This thing is so...
Wrong.
Stop it.
The truck fad is spreading.
The M3 pickup
was... Kill with fire.
Now, hang on.
The
M3
pickup was funny.
There's a marketing possibility here, and people would probably think this is a better use. What about a Maybach pickup truck?
They have the Landaulet already.
They have the Landaulet.
They're part of the way there. Yes. And again, would it hurt the car any?
Yeah,
not at all.
Can't be any uglier.
They might sell more in Texas.
Yes.
And if Jay-Z and Kanye West were to slice one up with a torch, I don't think anyone would be upset. I think they'd be very happy about that.
Don't they call that a mercy killing sometimes?
Yes.
All right. Michelle, I think you are up next. Take it away.
I am.
Michelle.
I see two Stevens, by the way. Oh, never mind. Okay, in the great tradition of bridges to span oceans and not just rivers, the Øresund Bridge connecting Sweden and Norway allows ships to pass with ease.
Yeah, yeah.
Only, what?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Only if a drawbridge is upsetting your weak... Is only if a drawbridge is upsetting to your weak constitution like it is to Krekki. Sorry, I got screwed up because somebody interrupted me.
Yo, yo, yo.
Let's take it back.
All right, Michelle, start from the top.
All right.
In the great tradition of bridges to span oceans and not just rivers, the Øresund Bridge connecting Sweden to Norway allows ships to pass with ease. But if a drawbridge is upsetting to your weak constitution like it is to Craigie's, this bridge might turn your socks even a little tighter as it sinks to allow the ships to cross. And Craigie is being sick in the corner as we speak. I think this picture...
That's not the corner. It's the table here.
Who's this Ralph you're calling, Craig?
It's lunch.
Ralph! Oh, sorry.
Actually, it's funny that you're talking about vomiting and puking because that's sort of what comes to mind with what I'm about to talk about next.
Oh, what is that?
As you may know, there are a few things in this world that I hate more than the Smart for Two.
And I had defend that amen, SOB. Bro.
No, it is ugly, impractical, horrible to drive, and surprisingly inefficient for its size. The sort of car might work in Europe, but in the States, it's just a huge pile of,
That's my sound effect.
Still, there are people out there who lack things like common sense and proper reasoning, and the Smart has sold to a few unlucky idiots. What's worse, though,
is that
people have taken to customizing the damn things, and our friends at CarScoop have recently showed us one example. One of their readers spotted a Smart for Two all gussied up with the Brabus treatment, SLR McLaren-inspired nose decals, and, wait for it, LED lights around the custom tailpipes. I'd love to tell you more about this, but I need to go stab my eyes out.
Give him a bag.
The thing is every year they produce so many of these things for SEMA. Somebody's got to be driving them around, right?
No, I think a lot of those are cars without VINs. They scrap them right after the show.
I love the idea of a giant group of Smart for Twos just being crushed or set on fire.
Delightful?
God.
But you know, the truth is the Smart is not the most inappropriately named car that's ever been sold in America. It's the second most inappropriately named car.
The first
Probe?
Being?
No. The Ford Aspire.
Because
the truth is, you got one and you aspired to get the heck out of it, okay? The thing with the Smart that gets me is that, I don't know if you realize this, the cars that go to SEMA, they don't have any VINs in them, so they get scrapped afterwards.
Right.
But they had VINs where they weren't imported, and the guys at Smart would cut the VINs out so they could go scrap the cars.
Nice.
That's a joke. It's not really true.
But they've
scrapped Smart of America. Oh no, that's another story.
When I was living in Australia, and they launched the Smart. They had a Brabus model available, and I just about died. All of us are going like, first of all, Brabus they voluntarily did this. Yeah. I mean, they must have really been desperate to be taken over by Mercedes, and then Mercedes didn't take them over. So what can you say?
Darn. Well, Alex, you've got our last story here, so why don't you take it away?
Ooh, and it's a good one because
you know what that noise means, of course.
What does it mean, Ben?
It's a Roab non sequitur because it doesn't have anything to do with a car.
No, but it has everything to do with a tiny jet. And we all love tiny jets, right?
Of course.
Is it born
like
jets?
Small hands and smelling like cabbage, jets. Right?
Okay, now that that's established. So this is a tiny home-built jet. I'm fascinated by the idea of tiny turbojets. And Autopia's got the scoop on the Sonics Subsonics, cleverly named or too cleverly by Halfley named kit plane that kind of looks like a Messerschmitt ME-163, Comet's dorky little brother.
The mouth breather.
It is a mouth breather because it's... Okay. And it doesn't sound like that, actually. It sounds like a legitimate jet airplane.
Just size challenged?
Because even though it weighs only 45 pounds, the engine, not the whole plane... It puts out almost 250 pounds of thrust.
I'll show you 250. Never mind.
Its little back legs look like desk chair, like rollers.
This reminds me of that plane that the guy was working on in Africa. out of literally garbage. I mean, that's right. We had a few months back.
It will fly sometime.
Are you thinking about District 9?
It will fly.
Oh, yes. So could the guy build the engine in his home or something?
It probably no, in the basement. Actually, you know, a lot of these things start out as end tables. You're starting to do something just in the shop.
Get out of hand.
And it gets out of hand. And before you know it, you've got a mini jet.
Wow.
Well, actually, the jet part of it comes from the Czech Republic, known for their miniaturized jet engines. Not really. They're really known for Tatras, but I think it's still pretty cool that they're making a tiny jet. And you know what I think the best use for this thing would be? My theory is a miniaturized Chrysler turbine car.
Sounded good to me.
But, like a Caliber.
But that's what I would do. It. I'm a car guy, not a plane guy. So what can I say? But it's now, pretty cool.
You want to know the truth. A turbine engine that small would make a spectacular generator for a hybrid. Or for a
range extender.
A range extender. Yeah.
But it would be a great one.
You'd run it at constant speed. You'd put it in a recuperator so it'd use the exhaust heat to heat the intake air, makes the engine more efficient. That baby could be tiny and make 200 pounds of thrust?
Yeah. That'd be no, because
wow.
250 out of 45 pounds.
Yeah, that would be one heck of a range extender.
It really would. It genuinely would.
Now, what idea. If you could feed that hot exhaust gas into a diesel engine like they used to do in Britain for a locomotive?
Yeah, but look what that did the British railway system. Come on.
Did that have effect on the British auto industry, too?
And the British, I mean,
Britain.
The thing is, Britain, blank Britain. Industry. It will self-destruct. Okay?
It doesn't matter what it is, yeah.
It does. I can see what you mean, the resemblance to the 163 Comet, the Messerschmitt.
Which was not a jet, in fact, but was a rocket.
It was a rocket.
It did not have an elevator at the back, either.
It didn't need it.
It had a vertical stabilizer and a swept wing.
You could almost argue it was a flying wing with a real stubby fuselage.
Mm-hmm.
The worst thing about the Comet was if a pilot had to bring it back and it still had fuel in it, they didn't like that.
It didn't have landing gear. It had a skid.
That's landing gear. That's landing gear. Remember, first of all, there's in aircraft, there is a phrase that is absolutely wrong. They say the airplane had to make a forced landing. You do not have to force an airplane to land. They will all land eventually.
Yeah, they all want to land, definitely. Yeah.
Forced
that
landing,
airplane
right.
It looks like it has bar stool legs.
Actually, it'd be cool if you flew it from a bar stool. Wouldn't that be neat?
Yeah.
See, now there's...
Did he bolt it down?
Hey, wait a minute. What if the pilot sat on a bar stool?
No, not attached to anything. So you're just sort of...
This is a non-automotive thing. We're talking the most about it. What the hell's going on here?
And on that note, we're going to move on. We're going to take a quick break here. A brief intermission, if you will. But we will continue our lively chat. Alex Kirstein, Hooniverse.com. Stephen J. Ewing, Autoblog. Michelle...
Yes.
Michelle Naranjo, Auto by Tell managing editor, no less. Plus, the Super Hall brothers. So stick around because we've got a great stupid car trick to share and another riveting installment of Versus. So don't miss it. Hang on. Get into the ad right here. So now I would like to plug our good friends at Advance Auto Parts. If you visit our website, roundaboutshow.com, there's an opportunity, a great opportunity for you to save some major moolah. If you look in the right-hand sidebar of the page, there's a lovely little Advance Auto Parts ad you can click on, and you can save some big coin. If you spend $30 at Advance, you get $10 off. Spend $50, you'll take $20 off that bill. Spend $100, they'll just with a samurai sword, katana, just slice $30 off the top of that bill.
Ow,
ow, indeed. It's a very sharp blade, Ben. So again, that's 10 off 30, 20 off 50. Or 30 off of 100. And it's very important. If you want to get these big savings, you have to go to our website, roundaboutshow.com, and click through on the ad we have in the right-hand sidebar of the page. I've taken advantage of this several times. You should, too.
My father has twice.
Wow.
Free shipping. Did Jerry say free shipping?
I have
shipping?
Not gotten there yet.
Oh, sorry. I'm just getting so excited about these guys who are ready in advance.
Service is their best part. That's got to be a sound drop, too. If you spend $75, you qualify for free shipping. You can have the parts dropped off at your door, at your office if you want.
If I spend $100?
You still get free shipping.
Oh, but I get $30 off also.
Yes, you do.
So you're basically stacking savings upon savings.
And you're building that foundation of customer satisfaction on top of the strongest foundation, savings.
The castle
the
of
bedrock.
Savings.
The bedrock, yes. So click on Advance. Help us out. Help them out. They're great. You can also pick your stuff up in store if you don't want it delivered. So whatever works best for you.
Could you have it delivered to another store?
I'm sure
you can pick it up there.
You probably could.
Okay.
Yes. So Advance Auto Parts, we thank them for their support. Of Roundabout.
Indeed we do.
And now you must brace for impact, assume the crash position, lean on that seat in front of you, because it's time for Stupid Truck Trick.
Come on, boy. Go get it. Come on now.
For it.
There it is. All right. So, Ford versus Chevrolet, classic battle, classic rivalry. We've got a great video we found on Autoblog that is posted on YouTube. And it is a tug of war between presumably two friends. One is driving a very highly lifted Ford F-150.
All I'm going to say about this video is that the one thing that will give it away is that the person who's like waving his hand down saying like, go now, is not wearing a shirt.
Exactly. So they've hooked up these two trucks, a heavily modified Ford, heavily modified Chevy. These are both lifted. They look like monster trucks. They're pulling on a tether, I guess, that is hooked to the rear bumpers of each of them. And the Ford pulls the Chevy. The bed starts to bend right after the cab. Pulls the Chevy back. The thing just collapses. The axle rips off. And then, adding insult to injury, it rolls on the roof.
Well, you know,
it's just a confluence of
bad. You can't make an omelet without breaking eggs. Okay?
The phrase of the day. Blob. Listen to those V8 engines.
Well, sounds great.
You know the most embarrassing part of all, what they learned later? The guy with a Ford had a Chevy engine in it.
He probably did. It's just the carnage. You have to go to our website, roundaboutshow.com.
What's that again?
Roundaboutshow.com. Okay. Click on the link in the show notes. Watch this. You will laugh. Hopefully the guy in the Chevy truck wasn't hurt when it rolled over.
He was able to laugh afterwards.
Yes, exactly.
I wonder if he actually...
Somebody bought him a beer.
I wonder how he reported it to his insurance company.
He probably didn't have insurance, Jim.
Michelle, you mean another beer?
Exactly. They gave him another Bud Light.
Yeah, there's no insurance company to report to, so I wouldn't worry about it.
I am self-insured.
Have any of you guys seen carnage like this?
Government insurance.
I've seen carnage, but this actually is unique unto itself. It is unique in all the world.
Yes, I think. So that is our stupid truck trick of the week.
Very good.
Very good. So moving along, it is time for our next and final segment.
I believe it is versus.
So as you know, that is if you are a regular listener to the Roundabout podcast.
As all you are.
You should be. In this game, two panelists debate the merits and demerits of one particular vehicle. The other two pick a winner. Now we have more than four participants this week, so we're going to do a little finagling. But
here's what we're going to do. Because
explain,
we've got
Ben.
The Super Hall Brothers on. Yes. So normally we would pick names at random. One person would be a pro, one person would be a con. This time we're going to pit Hall versus Hall.
Oh, my gosh.
Who saw that one coming?
That way it surprised me.
Not me at all.
I didn't know they were going to do that, did you?
Not at all.
I am so surprised.
Michelle, did you know they were going to do that?
I had an inkling.
Really? Alex, how about you?
I was completely ignorant of that fact.
I'm glad I'm not the only person.
Oh, darn it.
Golly gee.
So it'll be Hall versus Hall with a triumvirate of judges, and they'll have to do their best to convince
us,
right?
Wouldn't it be a quadumvirate?
But you realize, of course.
I'm not a judge.
No, Alex.
Alex, I'm good at counting.
Yes.
Quadumvirate, in fact.
How many toes am I holding up?
I'm sort of like half a judge.
30.
Michelle,
the only way we can do this, Hall Brothers, is because this is a time-limited exercise.
Yes. Oh, easy.
No problem.
You have 1 minute to make your argument each, and then a 15-second rebuttal round.
Okay.
Did you guys serve on debate team together?
Bob didn't. I'm sorry.
What's a debate?
Bob, you know, in these tests you had in high school to figure out what you should do, Bob said that you should either be a lawyer or a shepherd.
Where did a natural sausage casing maker come into the list?
Neither one of us. I think that was Craig Neuswanger, wasn't it?
Craig Neuswanger. And it was during Vietnam where we were all be good for military service. Any male.
Yeah.
Didn't matter.
Yes.
Yeah.
You'd be good for military service.
Military. Good. All right, Ben, who's going to be pro?
Why don't we get that assigned to us before we hear the car?
We're going
to
randomize it here. Ben is going to random.org.
Is the computer going to pick for you, Ben?
Actually, random.org is going to pick for us.
I know of random.org.
Okay.
And Mirko in the chat, just so we know, get you guys pumped. Mirko in the chat is screaming in capital letters, versus with an exclamation point.
Yes.
He is excited.
Okay, Mirko, this is for you.
This is for you. All right. We're going to pick pro first.
Okay,
pro will determine
first.
Jim, pick a number between 1 and 100.
73.
Does that have to be a real number?
Why don't we just have someone assign them a pro and a con?
It's low tech.
I feel like that would be a much simpler way
of
doing
time.
Jim, meeny, miny, mo.
Jim is even.
Because we pay for the leasing of the Roundabout Show master computer, we have to use it.
Right.
James, to my right.
I'll be even. Even. I will be odd, which is very appropriate.
Okay, fair enough.
I disagree. Vehemently.
All right, I'm going to generate a random number between 1 and 100.
It is 73.
It is 49. Odd. So who's odd?
Bob is odd.
You're pro.
Bob is pro.
You have to defend whatever cars here. These are also going to be Dream Cruise themed cars.
Ooh.
So American classics.
Wait, can we get that ooh together again?
Drop. Yeah.
That was awesome.
And?
Ooh.
Very good. Mark.
Now, do it again without the arousal, Bob.
You notice the table's uneven, right? I see.
It's listing.
Let me sit back a bit. All right. A couple of feet back.
Thank God this is a middle school show.
Yes, that's right. Let's
bringing a voice of reason.
Do your homework.
Yes, all right. Okay.
I don't want to.
Bob is pro. Jim is
an amateur. Oh, a convict, yes.
Artist, yes. Khan Film Festival. We've Genghis Khan. We've done them all.
Yes, we have.
So, Ben, what is our first vehicle this week?
All right. And Pro will go first.
Is there something we need to look here in the computer? Or?
No.
I have pasted links, in fact. So, you may now look at pick number one, which is the 1958 Edsel Corsair, I should say. And, Bob, as Pro, I command you to start.
Ah, Edsel Corsair. It was the premier Edsel vehicle. There were two ranges of Edsel. There were what they called EFs, which were based on Fords, and EMs, which were based on Mercurys. The Corsair and the Citation were based on the Mercury. The Corsair, the Citation was the absolute ne plus ultra. It had little things stuck in the cove on the side that couldn't be pried out. The Corsair had the more clean and tasteful look about it, okay? And it was available in a number of colors. For example, one of my all-time favorite colors for this was it was available in, I think it was called sand pink and white. And if you had a hard top, you could get three colors. Separate color for the roof, okay? Separate color for the body and for the cove on the back. And the other thing I liked about it is that the Edsel was absolutely despised by Robert S. McNamara, so I like it, okay?
That makes 10 seconds good. Left.
10 seconds left. Buy an Edsel at your local dealer today. My turn. Oh, my God, what's that? Oh, jeez, you shouldn't put that on my chair.
Jim, you get 15 seconds of rebuttal.
No, first he's
going
to.
Oh, that's right, he gets a minute.
First you've got a minute to tell us why this is.
To disparage.
Right.
Oh,
now, first of all, just imagine that it's Captain Kirk saying this. Con! Okay. you haven't heard that one, I'll bet. Okay, now first of all, the first thing against it is it's available in a three-tone. All right? No one with a sense of with rods and cones in the right percentage wants to have a three-tone car, period. Second, because it's a Corsair, it isn't the top of the line, so you're getting an Edsel, but it's like kissing your sister. This is not the one you really want if you want a mercury-bodied Edsel. You want a Citation. You also want it because it has golden aluminum house siding in the cove, okay, which is really the ne plus ultra, not ne plus ultra. The other thing is, these cars had something called teletouch push-button automatic transmission, where the buttons were in the middle of a fixed hub of the steering wheel. The early cars, they routed the electric cable because it was the first electrically shifted automatic. The first ones were routed by the exhaust manifold on the driver's side, where invariably the insulation would burn out, the car would short, and go into non-drive. Why would you want a car like that when in 1958 you could get something really special?
All right. Bob, you now have a 15-second rebuttal round, and that round starts now.
Okay, so you don't have the golden house siding. I'm not Chinese. I couldn't care less about golden, okay? And teletouch. Teletouch drive, it was not the first. The first was the Packard Ultramatic, which had the little thing that sprung out from the street. And they had electrical problems, too. So Edsel, it made it like a foreign car. It made it like an English car. It had electrical problems.
Your time has expired. Jim, you now have you now have 15 seconds.
That was so good.
That was so good.
Double rebut.
Rebut.
Edsels in general have a problem. They promised the future it should have had a bubble top and it had a three-tone roof. You're out of your mind to buy a car like that.
At your local Edsel dealer today.
Mercury Edsel Lincoln dealer.
That's what it ended up as, yeah.
All right, judges, we got to.
Judges, we don't want you to spill the beans here, but just tell us what you're thinking. What are your impressions? We'll start with Steven.
I've got to say that the three-tone thing really speaks to me as.
But which?
It is horrible. Because I thought to myself of, like, are there any vehicles today that you could get in any sort of, like, three-tone package? And the only thing that came to my mind was the Smart for Two.
Ooh.
And thus, I mean, if I can make that link in my head, I want to set it on fire.
I'd like to remind you that a Smart for Two would
shut up. We're not supposed to talk about this.
Would fit in the trunk of an Edsel, okay?
Keep your yappers shut, boys.
I think Bob took some heavy damage on this one.
I'm not so certain.
My spleen hurts.
Ben, I would not be so quick to disparage him because.
What is your impression?
I like colors. I can see a few of them.
You're wearing a white shirt.
And I appreciate.
How can you like colors?
You're wearing
black
and white.
He owns a salmon shirt. Don't.
Oh, he does own a salmon shirt.
A salmon color, much like what I'm sure was available
sand
on the Edsel.
Pink.
Salmon with sunset coral, only available on the Ford-based cars, the Ranger and the Pacer.
You know what, Steven? You're wrong. There's actually, I mean, the 500 has a bunch of color packages going
right,
on.
Right, but the 500 is cute.
Right, but... It's it does have color packages going on, so it's not just the Smart 4 2. You are incorrect.
You have
okay, Alex. Any thoughts?
Thanks, Michelle.
You're welcome.
I want to give Bob some props for the stoic defense of like a really tough to defend mm-hmm. vehicle. So I don't want to make a final verdict yet, but
yeah, that's fine.
I will say it was sort of reminiscent of a few shows ago, Jeff Ross, bless his heart, defending the Murano Cross Cabriolet.
You mean what about two episodes ago where I had to defend the Smart 4 2.
You lost. Mm.
Yes,
but
I did.
To be fair, Jeff actually won, if I remember correctly.
Defending the Murano.
Won defending the Murano. Whereas
it's the argument, not the
you
product.
Lost defending the Smart because, I mean.
There's no way you can get over the product with the Smart. That's a problem.
Well, okay. Moving along.
Number two.
Round two. It's time for round two. What
round two. This time we will start with Khan. That would be Jim. Number two is. What did I say it was?
The 1950 Studebaker Champion.
Yes.
Commander.
The link is for a commander.
Commander. And you may start when you hear the bell. Wait for it. There we go.
This is Raymond Loewy at his finest. A man that didn't really design it, but took credit for it. And what else would you want to take credit for than a car influenced by the jet aircraft that made America the country that ran the Soviet Union into the ground?
You're Khan, by the way.
I'm Khan.
I'm writing this all down.
He's doing this. It's the Naranjo defense. It's the Naranjo defense. Keep going.
Turn it around.
I can do that.
30 seconds.
But that said... The Studebaker didn't perform like a jet plane. It was a wheezy, anemic vehicle. You'd have to be blind to live with the product, and most importantly, because it was a Studebaker, remember that it was engineered like a Conestoga wagon. Oh, Studebaker built the Conestoga wagons. But it was a Conestoga wagon that looked like a jet plane. If you want that, you need your head examined.
All right.
Done with time to spare. Time to spare.
All right, this time it's time for our pro... And I think he's got a head start.
Yeah, here we go. This car designed by Raymond Loewy, who took credit for designing things he didn't do, was designed after a jet. Did I get that right, Jim? Oh, no. Okay, sorry. I mean, it's Studebaker. Studebaker was the oldest vehicle company on the entire continent, okay? This was available with the wraparound rear window. When it was launched, people couldn't tell what the front of the back was. So by putting the schnoz on it, suddenly you knew where the front was. It was the jet intake. They were also waiting for the small... 45-pound, 240-pound thrust engine. It just wasn't available, okay? They were all ready to put it in, but they couldn't get it in time. And you could carry dogs in it, okay? The car you could load with pups. It would be great. Everybody would want one. No, it was a Studebaker. I mean, they were the best-paid people in the industry. The Studebaker workers were great. The plant had a dirt floor in sections in 1950. What more could you possibly have? It was crafted. It was crafted. It was a proper car. It was a Ford for the price of a Buick. What more could you ask for?
5 seconds to spare. All right. Now we go to our rebuttal round.
Like motorcycle.
This time it's Jim.
15 seconds.
I just want to remind Jim. Khan.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I got it.
Khan!
All right. Yes. it will carry dogs, but the vehicle is a dog. But you have to be blind to own the car. And the other thing is you could do incredible damage to anyone in a crossing because that turban nose would simply skewer people. It's horrible. Oh, the humanity. I can't go on.
Is it turban or turbine?
Yes.
It would depend if it's on your head or if it's moving you.
All right. Next. Okay. We got Bob. Your turn to rebut.
It is your turn to rebut.
15 seconds, Bob.
Right. Look, Studebaker, proven car, proven brand. What were they killed by? They were killed by moving to Canada. The Canadians killed the brand. Everybody thought it was they could die because this is a great car. And the turbine engine, if somebody's stupid enough to walk in front of you, I like the idea it could drill into them. Should have a little screw on it.
Yeah, Bob, you know, we're supposed to be judged by the argument.
Yeah? What's your point?
All right, judges. I'm going to start with Michelle this time. What was your impression of
Michelle, did
this
I
round?
Mention how really beautiful you look today?
I apologize, you guys, for the dogs.
What dogs?
I got a UPS package on the front.
You get your dogs via UPS? That is the
well,
coolest.
That's cool.
That is cool.
What's the web address? I want a couple. I want a hounds.com. Is that it?
Yeah, you don't want these hounds.
No. They put holes in the boxes? They can breathe?
You know, I think both of your arguments were, you know, Bob, you kind of managed to turn it around there, but
I should
it's
have
hard
mentioned
to remember
the
during this game that it really is an exercise about being full of, you know.
That sound effect I won't play.
Yeah.
But that is her sound effect.
True.
She recorded it on the toilet at the train station.
Class three?
Class six, I think.
I've never heard the sound, so I don't know.
You know, I was pretty impressed. You took the Naranjo defense, first pioneered by Michelle a few weeks back, by starting out on the opposite side.
I did that to destabilize my opponent.
I know. It was,
absolutely. It's used on the car lot all the time.
It's the Naranjo defense, yes. Alex, what did you think about this round, round two?
Oh, you know, like the Studebaker isn't sure whether it's coming or going. I don't know which way the wind is blowing on this one yet. I'm going to demur.
I enjoy the type of pattern.
Oh my gosh, Stephen, any thoughts? Or are you done here?
I don't know, but I did particularly love the argument of being able to drill into people.
It's stupid enough to love
yeah. Exactly. Yes. I like yeah. that.
All right, Ben. I think it's time for round three.
I believe it is time for round three. This time we will start once again with Pro. And number three is the 1934 Chrysler Airflow. When you hear my bell, get ready to go, and you will have 1 minute.
The Airflow was a technical advance upon any car ever built. All cars built since the Airflow have been copies of it to some form or another. Okay, because the passengers are seated within the wheelbase instead of being placed. And everybody, see, the Airflow styling was not the big deal. It gave it that luxury car ride, the floating ride, okay, that Buick couldn't have existed without that. And they had to learn it well and truly from Chrysler. And it was unique. It was you could see it a mile away coming. So you could run away. It'd be good to hit by it because of the curved bonnet without the little pointer to skewer you. You could bounce over it. It was a fast one. You could slide back down the back. No, it was a huge step forward because of the ride issue. And that gets lost in the fact that it was so controversially styled.
All right. With more than 15 seconds to go, that was Bob's take on the Chrysler Airflow.
34.
The
1934 Chrysler Airflow. Yes. Thank you. So when you hear my bell, it'll be time for Con.
Yes, okay. Yes. The 1935 Airflow is the weak. 1934 Airflow, same thing. Is
How
actually
was it 35?
It's the weak sister. It really is. It doesn't cut the mustard. Now a DeSoto Airflow. That is the Airflow in its truest form. Absolutely. It's beautiful in the front. It's spectacular in the rear. Most importantly, it was properly sized. Unlike the incredibly obsequious and huge and disgusting Chrysler Airflows, it was sized right. The Chrysler Airflow is really for someone who is suffering from perhaps pustules on the forward lobes of their brain. And it was pretty obvious. The car didn't survive because there were not enough people that had pustules on their brain to buy it. And the truth is the Chrysler Airflow lived in the shadow of the spectacular DeSoto Airflow.
Interesting tact there, but
indeed.
Jim Hall is done with time to spare.
And now it is time for Bob's rebuttal round. When you hear my bell, You will have 15 seconds.
Of course I will accept that the DeSoto Airflow was much easier to park, okay? But to make use of the long wheelbase, okay, seated within the wheelbase, there was the Airflow Imperial that was even bigger. And as we all know, you know, size does matter, okay?
Right on the nose. Right on the money. Jim Hall, it's time for your rebuttal round.
All I can say is Bob's argument brings to mind something that Bob, when he was young, had Tolio. Then he suffered from measles, and now smallpox.
Oh. Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. Indeed.
Which middle school are we at tonight? Is this the one out on 13 Mile I saw?
I went to Powell Middle School, or PMS.
I'm familiar with that. My wife reminded me.
All right, just so joking, Karen. That was round three, Chrysler Airflow. Judges? Alex, let's start with you. I have a feeling you're going to be pretty middle of the road, but... No.
I am not middle of the road at all on this one. I think Jim's got this one squared away because everyone knows that the best offense is a good DeSoto.
One moment. I have just looked. He is one of the members. He is the leader of the DeSoto Owners Club in Washington, in the Seattle area, SeaTac area. I just saw it here, the website.
It's a tissue of lies. Bob will have to lie his way out of this.
Steven, your thoughts on this?
I've got to go with the DeSoto argument here. I have to.
Okay.
You've got to love a DeSoto.
You're tipping to the
You've
gym.
You've got to love a DeSoto.
Stay medium priced, my friend. And Michelle.
I don't know. People with pustules on their brain, though, puts me off. I'm going to go with Bob here.
Thank you, Michelle. When I see you in California next week, I'll bring your money. Would you like that? Would you like that in cash, or can I send you a check payable to the?
I'm actually in Detroit next week. So.
Okay. Well, then we'll worry about it later. Jim will pay you.
All right. So those are our three rounds, folks. But we've got a bonus round.
We do have a bonus round. We don't normally do a bonus round, but you know, hey, we couldn't resist. So
it's super special.
Yeah, this is now our bonus round sound effect.
It's super special.
This is now our bonus round sound effect. No, in addition to the roundabout.
You can't dual purpose the sound effects.
Well, that's true. Of us.
They're going to lose their meaning. Well, how dare you?
Perhaps.
It's like saying one for yes and two for no, or two for no, or two for yes. Yeah.
Major damage, Ben.
Yeah.
Jeez. Now he's having a seated seizure.
Is that a comfort stroke that time?
No, that's a different. A seated seizure is a problem.
Very upset.
No. He could be Ray Charleson.
You Charles out.
Charles and out. Anyway.
You do something
tastes
real good.
Yes. Okay, so what is our bonus round vehicle this evening, Ben?
It is the Stout Scarab. I told Jim he would hear this vehicle at a time later in our show, and indeed, he did.
I had no idea I would have to be against the Stout Scarab.
Indeed you will. So...
remember, Bob...
You're my brother.
And of course, in all versus bonus rounds, you only have 30 seconds.
For everything.
To make your argument. You still have a rebuttal round.
What year is this?
What's the winner going to win?
A Neo sound effect, unless you got a better idea.
That sounds awesome to me.
Okay, cool. So when you hear my bell, Jim, you'll have 30 seconds.
Con first.
If you think the Corvair handled badly, imagine something with long wheelbase and a Ford V8 hung out of the back with a little tiny fan that barely turns around. Awful. You couldn't see out of the back. You can't see out of the front. And the most terrifying feature of all of this vehicle is that the seats, other than the driver's seats, were not bolted to the interior of the car. That makes cornering fun, accelerating fun, and braking a real thrill. Now, you'd have to be crazy to have this car unless you wanted it as a lawn ornament. And for that, it might be pretty okay.
Right on the money. And now it's time for Bob's turn.
He's the pro.
Stout Scarab was one of the true breakthrough automobiles. It was the first minivan, even though it didn't have a sliding door. But, you know, the lack of a rear window was good because no one could shine their bright lights at you. And it had a plastic body that would not rust. Okay? It was developed by, it had aircraft technology. It was designed by the man who designed the Ford Trimotor airplane. It had a Ford engine, reliable, and it was made in Detroit. What more could you ask for?
Not more time, because that was...
Jets.
Born from a tin corrugated metal box that somehow flew over the South Pole, right, or North Pole, whatever the hell Admiral Byrd was in.
Pole.
Yes.
It flew over Mr. Wasnowski, who lived out at the sausage bed. That pole.
Okay. Well,
at the sound of my bell,
look, there's a plane.
Jim will have 15 seconds to rebut.
The Stout Scarab, of course, it does have lines directly to the Tin Goose because it was made of tin. The worst part about it is, of course, that they survived. The best part was they didn't build that many. And my God, what an astonishing vehicle.
Which I like very much.
It's not about the car. This is not judging the car.
No,
no.
This is the argument. All right, when you hear my bell, you know what to do.
Okay, first of all, Jim has it wrong. The seats, in fact, were bolted to the floor. They rotated freely 180 degrees, allowing you to look to the side, the front. It was great for view purposes. And how many cars of this vintage that look like this can you find in video games? It's available in a video game.
You mean to tell me it had swivel and go?
Yes, it did.
In the 30s.
Years before Chrysler had
decades.
One of them that shows up at the AutoZone has the seats that are not bolted to the interior.
Well, that might have been customer modified. Well, okay, it's like Ralph Lauren screwing around with all those cars he has. Okay, maybe this guy said, "I think I'll unbolt the seats today."
I still like the idea of them being able to swivel around, sort of like the tilt-a-whirl of vehicles.
Yeah, you go around a corner, just think of the fun. Okay, whoa!
That darn Ralph Lauren, he took the eyes out and just bastardized it.
Darn tooting!
Yeah. No, hang on.
We need to do a folk phrase podcast.
Yeah,
gosh almighty. We need to do that.
Golly.
Shucks.
Shoot. Just to recap, we've got four vehicles here. And in round number one, we were talking about the 1958 Edsel Corsair. Round two, 1950 Studebaker Commander. Round three was the 34 Chrysler Airflow. And the bonus round was a 1930s vintage Stout Scarab. So, round number one, Steven, we had the Edsel. Who took this one home?
Jim Hall.
And why did Jim?
It's that whole three-tone argument, the three-color argument. Okay. I can't get behind it. Okay, I don't want three colors on
but
a
you couldn't be swayed by gold and aluminum siding.
Maybe if it was wood paneling, but...
okay.
That was available on the Bermuda. Mm.
Alex, who did you give this round to and why?
Bob. Definitely Bob.
Okay,
definitely. Definitely Bob.
Definitely.
I mean... the Edsel, like I said earlier, such a hard car to defend. I admired his heart in doing so. It won me over. Really did.
Okay, very good. Defending the indefensible, really. The Edsel is derided by so many folks for being ugly, when really it's not that unattractive.
58 was not a great year for cars, styling-wise, mm-hmm. Okay? You had some Chrysler stuff that looked spectacular in 57 that got facelifted to look somewhat less than spectacular. Harley Earl was kind of showing that he needed to retire with the 58 GM products. Ford had some interesting stuff, but I mean, it was not a bumper crop.
But wasn't that also a half year because there was depression at the time and unemployment was like 29% in Detroit at that year?
There's plenty of depression here.
No,
Michelle, Carr came out in September and ran the full year, but it's like nobody was buying cars.
It was the so-called Eisenhower recession, and it hit worst in the middle market, and that's where the Edsel was. Let's launch a middle-priced car in the middle of a really weak market. Not smart.
Right.
Yeah. Well, okay, so Alex, you voted for Bob. Michelle,
yes.
Who did you cast your ballot for?
On the Studebaker, I went with...
No, Edsel.
Edsel, I went with Bob.
Wow. Okay. And I gave, by the narrowest of margins, a point to Jim for his defense. I almost went with you, Bob, but I found that three-tone argument compelling because that is not something we see today. Two-tone cars are exceedingly rare.
No, but you didn't have to get a three-tone. Yeah, that's it. You didn't have to get a three-tone.
It was a choice. So, yes. Actually, this round is tied up. Two to two.
I like the three-tone, so...
You don't have to change the sheets either. Round two, Studebaker Commander. Let's start with you, Alex. Who did you vote for and why?
You know, I went with Bob again. I like the skewer argument. I like the idea that this car can just mangle somebody you don't like. It looks mean, especially when it's painted black. And you know what? I also think it could use a 45-pound turbine.
in it. So born that, was, from that was another winning Steve argument. Baker. So
very good, very good. And you, Michelle? Who did
you know
cast?
What? I went with Jim on this one, despite the fact that I actually was raised by a babysitter that drove one.
Oh, my God. Wait, that explains a lot.
Was she the one that was blind?
Yes.
You have cyclopean dogs?
The man to my left, Stephen J. Ewing from Autoblog. Who did you think won round two, 1950 Studebaker?
I gave this one to Bob as well, even though Jim did teach us the important lesson of turbine versus turbine, and how those are two different things, very different things. But much like Alex, I have to agree. Bob's whole argument of being able to just drill right into someone, it's a beautiful thing to do.
I have to explain something. I picked that up in Australia. Australia was looking at regulation. This is not a joke. They're looking at regulation, and they had an argument. Do we do pedestrian protection? And in Australia, the argument was, first of all, it would end up benefiting kangaroos more and emus who run across the road. And the Aussie attitude
They don't
was,
vote.
No, the Aussie attitude was, if you're stupid enough to walk in front of a car, it's your problem, not the man. And that was the logic on why they didn't think.
Very logic, period.
Yeah.
But actually, the kangaroos probably are a bigger demographic than young people voting. But anyway.
It's very likely.
Yeah. Okay, I also awarded this round to Bob. So by the narrowest of margins,
yet again,
Bob Hall is in the lead. We had a tie, null. Round two goes to Bob. Bob is now the front runner. 1934 Airflow. Who wants
Chrysler
to start
Airflow? 1934 Chrysler Airflow.
Yes. Who carried the day?
You know what? I'll start because Jim brings up a good point. I awarded this to him because we were talking about the Chrysler Airflow. But the Airflow you want is the DeSoto, and that was his argument. So I gave this one to Jim.
Okay, strong argument. Michelle?
I actually went with Bob on this one because I think that the larger wheelbase is something that was translated more into cars for the next few decades.
Well, Michelle, I had to tell you, the DeSoto wasn't really short.
I know. Neither one of them were short. I have to go with the BS answer.
Yeah. I went with Bob on this one because the smooth ride really appeals to me.
The floating ride.
As born a geriatric, I appreciate comfort, refinement. And if you're in a 1930s car, you want that sofa lounge in the back, you know? And you're suspended
between
the axles.
You wouldn't know what to do with a back seat, Craigie.
It's for carrying passengers to bridge, Michelle.
I've been far enough.
No, not bridge. Canasta.
Oh, yeah. You need the canasta board.
Cribbage.
All right.
What about Alex? He's got a vote.
I know. Okay. I'm getting to him next. Alex, who did you vote for?
Well,
which of the
my
Hall
vote's
twins?
Going to Jim on this one because I think by bringing up the DeSoto – he reminded us that if you want a car that's named after somebody, do you want one that's named after Walter P? Or do you want a car named after a bloodthirsty Spanish conquistador who slaughtered and pillaged?
A man that wiped out. He wiped out a civilization, you know?
Not many
folks. Probably more than one because he was awesome. And I want to drive in a car named after him.
So. It has his bust on the hood, too. The hood ornament.
Really?
Right?
Hernando. Actually, not on a 34.
But yeah, but later models, definitely. So we have another tie this round.
That's a split?
It's a 2-2. Bob is still in the lead. He carried round two with the 1950 Studebaker Commander. 1934 Chrysler Airflow. Our round three car is another tie.
Bob ahead by but 1 point.
One scant.
What about the bonus round?
1930s Scout Scarab.
Now, I just want to ask, isn't this the round where you get double points if you do not have a name that can be reversed and is the same? Isn't that how it works? I think that's it. I'm not sure. Isn't that it? I'm probably mistaken, but I thought that was it.
Yeah. I've got to figure out how to spell Robert backwards real fast.
You can't.
All right, folks. Who carried the day in this round?
Why don't you go first? Because you were going first.
I don't want to go first.
Just go first.
Take it, Craig.
Take the initiative.
Be a man.
You know, I think
be an old man because you poor Ford geriatric.
I think Jim, you brought up the Ford V8, which is a topic very near and dear to my heart. which is something Bob neglected to do.
Of course he did.
Which is why I would have, based on the argument, the merits of the debate here, I have to award this round to you, Ford V8.
Yeah, I think I remember.
So, that was my decision there. Who is next? Who wants to grab this bull by the horns, as it were? This insect.
Hornswoggled.
Steven.
Yeah, I'll go. I keep coming back to the whole the seats not being bolted to the car. Or if they were bolted, just still being the original swivel and go sort of thing. And
you get sick either way.
And I like that. Honestly, I sort of like that idea. It sounds like a lot of fun, but because I like it and because that means it's a pro for the car, I have to award this one to Bob.
Wise choice.
Well, still I'll go tied next. Up. I'll go next. So right, I'm going to give this one to Jim because I, as a gardener, love different things in my garden that I can put plants in. And I have water heaters that are painted hot pink and...
Is it a garden or a garbage dump?
That's a garden. That is a garden. That is a postmodern, a post-apocalyptic garden.
You know what I think?
Did
I just lost Michelle's check.
Did she say water paint in her yard?
Michelle is actually a Jawa. She scavenges.
Okay, I'm going with Jim. Jim sold me.
Voted with Jim. Okay. It is all down to Mr. Kirstein.
Oh boy.
Are you going to... Is it going to be a tie and we have to go to the audience to decide? Yeah. Or are you going to...
You know,
luckily for me,
I don't have a tally sheet in front of me, so I'm actually not clear where the score is. So I'm just going to shoot from the hip.
Right.
And I'm going to go with Jim on this one because actually both Steven and Michelle already gave both the reasons why I was going to vote Jim on this. I think I like the idea of the scarab as a lawn ornament more than I like the idea of driving it with those scary swivel seats. So Jim. And that's final answer.
Do you have to use like the Calculon 9000 to come up with the results, or is it?
I have my tally sheet right here. Round one. Let's recap. Round one. 1958 Edsel Corsair was a tie. The brothers were equal. Round two. 1950 Studebaker Commander was awarded to Bob Hall. 3-1. Round number three. 1934 Chrysler Airflow. Another tie. Evenly matched. They are twins, after all. Round four, our bonus round, 1930s Scout Scarab went to Mr. Jim Hall. So we have ourselves a tie. We had two rounds that were tied, one round for Bob, one round went to Jim. That means our break tiebreaker has to go to our live audience. Audience, who carried the day? You've got 1 minute.
10 seconds.
Ten seconds. 10 seconds to vote. So chat room, get ready. Tell us who won. Was
Remember,
it Bob
chat
Hall?
Room, your vote counts.
Scott in Cleveland says Jim. Mud Monster says Bob.
I like the way
Gorski
this is going.
Says Bob.
I really like the way this is going.
Gorskik says Bob. How many seconds, Ben?
All right, we're done.
Oh.
It goes
by the audience
to Bob.
Out of three votes. Bob carries the day.
I'm glad the public understands.
Winner! Actually, Mirko also voted for Bob after the
buzzer, German delay.
So.
He voted for Bob.
Well, it was coming from overseas.
Wait a moment.
Isn't Mirko's vote a metric vote?
I believe it is.
So it doesn't count. It actually is a negative number, isn't it?
What if his vote was euro-based vis-a-vis the dollar?
What if it had a hanging Chad? These are questions I can't answer.
Which one? Everett?
That's a triplet that never came out.
No, which hanging Chad was it? Everett?
I don't know.
No, that's not funny, Bob.
It wasn't.
No.
Oh.
Sorry.
Yeah. Jim, I'm afraid that means you're the loser. You landed on the lava. You died.
Now, the lava in this case is actually just vinegar and baking powder, right?
Yes.
Baking soda.
Harmless.
If you've been paying attention, indeed.
I have a stainless steel box I'd like to put you in over here.
Now, that's got thorium in it. I am not going to get near it.
Harmless baking soda and vinegar unless
and
you
thorium.
Asphyxiate. Yes.
On
the carbon dioxide. Delicious stuff.
This means that Bob gets a brooch.
A brooch.
He needs a brooch.
On his next visit.
I'll get a brooch.
Give him the brooch.
Now, I'd like to recommend that Bob's brooch be thorium-encrusted.
Oh, yeah. Well, and then to test it, I'll put it in my mouth. It's got a tingling sensation.
I had to spend an hour at the Salvation Army to find some
the brooch?
Brass piece of garbage I could buy and
garbage?
Treasure.
That's an elegant object d'art.
It is a treasure beyond the price of avarice. Please.
Is it hanging in a sacred place in your home?
Right from Michelle's yard. So,
found under a log.
All right, guys. I think we got to wrap this show up. But
we do.
Good job, everyone. Michelle Naranjo, managing editor, autobytel.com. Thank you for joining us this week.
Thank you for having me, Craigie.
You're ever so welcome. You're ever so welcome.
See you next week.
Sounds like a plan. You're not on next week, are you?
No, but if you come see me on Monday, I'll be
no
there.
No one's on next
in Detroit next week.
Touché. Stephen J. Ewing, autoblog.com. Always a pleasure.
Oh, always a pleasure.
Glad
indeed.
To have you. Alex Kirstein, or Kirstein. I don't know however you pronounce it in Seattle.
We don't know
turbine and turbine.
Yeah, whatever.
Yes. You are from Hooniverse.com, no?
Yes, I am. That's a fact.
Great website. Check it out. Hooniverse.com. Thank you again for joining us. Great job, as always.
It was splendiferous.
Splenda?
Which is made from real sugar.
Apparently.
Can't cook with it.
And, of course, I have to thank the Super Hall brothers for joining us. Jim Hall, 2953 Analytics. Bob Hall from somewhere else.
It's always a pleasure.
In town from SoCal, actually. But thank you guys for sticking around, taking the time to be on.
Glad to be here.
And never again since he lost.
No, I'll be back. But there's a better than even chance I'll be armed. As I am now.
With a, will you
no,
have...
No, as you can see.
There's a shirt that says, has a picture of a man with these very large, hairy arms. And it says, the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms.
I thought that was the right to arm bears all the time.
I don't know.
I have been giving machine pistols to Ursine mammals in northern Michigan. Have I been making a mistake?
I remember you sent some of those MP40 Schmeisers for me to give to the bears up in Yellowstone.
Yeah.
You referenced an aquatic mammal today in Autoline Daily, FYI, which was hilarious. Yes. Anyway, and last but not least, Ben Sanders for making this show possible. Thank you to you.
Hello.
All right. So don't Goodbye. Miss your chance to win. Viewers, don't miss your chance to win $100 by listening to Roundabout on your smartphone by using Stitcher. Just go to stitcher.com/roundabout. Then when you register your new Stitcher account, don't forget to enter the promo code Roundabout. One of our lucky listeners will be entered to win $100 each month. Jim, you've got a Samsung Galaxy's phone.
Yeah, it is a Galaxy's phone, but I would be afraid that if I were it to enter it, that I would win. The only thing I'd win, and I'd be ineligible by being a guest.
No, that's not true.
No, you'd walk away.
No, Craig has no standards.
No.
Well, no, Michelle, he does, but they're
Michelle,
exceedingly
honey,
low.
That's obviously not true.
Can you win a brooch?
So remember, you can watch Roundabout Live every Friday evening starting at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 3:30 on the West Coast. So if you're larking about the office, Bob.
Be there or be rectangular.
Yes.
Exactly.
Some sort of polygon. And don't forget to check out the rest of the Autoline family of fine programs, including Autoline Detroit, Autoline After Hours, and, of course, Autoline Daily, Jim Hall's baby. If you got a question or comment you need addressed, you can always get in touch with us on the ROAB hotline. Just give us a call, 1-559-ROAB-411, and numbers, that is 1-559-762-2411. We'd love to hear from you. You can get in touch with us on Twitter. We're on twitter.com/roundaboutshow or Facebook as well, facebook.com/roundaboutshow. Pretty easy to find. Just search for us if you're having trouble.
But, Google Plus?
We're on the Google Plus, too?
Not yet.
Coming soon. Coming soon to a smartphone or computer near you.
We're waiting to see if this goes, MySpace
Empire
or
Avenue.
Yeah,
but it won't be coming to the WebOS in your car,
right?
Because it's not going to your car. No. And with that, we can wrap up this show, gentlemen and lady. Thanks to all of you out there listening. Please join us again next week as we circle the roundabout. We will talk to you then. Enjoy all of this great taste with fewer calories. Plus, we'll get to another blind spot story of the week that we're not doing anymore, and a Dream Cruise themed installment of Versus. So get in, sit down, shut up, and hold on. Roundabout is coming at
you. Why don't you subtract that blind spot?
And Bob and Jim.
We could do a cappella.
This is Roundabout.
Very good.
We're ahead of you.
Yeah.
They can read where it says Jim and Bob, and then...
I can't get behind three tone.
We're going to wait for the train.
Oh, your train came in, huh?
No, that's the train that's delivering a fresh supply
of hobos.
Of hobos and of Autoline.
Of vagrants.
Your latest shipment of Autoline is here.
They've harvested it. Yes. With the carrots, they pick them off the trees.
Moving sort of slowly.
Like Autoline sometimes, when the connection is not quite... Well, the Roundabout show is always fast and to the point.
Hence the name. Oh. Okay, so third round. No, I'm sorry. Let's start again.
Let's
Market
start again.
Which one were you in favor of? It sounds like Jim and the pros and cons.
No. Get that Let's Computatron back going again.
How much are we paying on the computer?
Hold your horses.
The computer's not very good, is it?
Apparently not.
Its wireless card is bad, yes.